Blair of the Mounties, a story of the Royal Northwest Mounted Police.
Our scene opens at Fort McAllister in the Canadian Northwest. The fort is a survival of the old days, when the great Hudson Bay Company held sway over that vast region under the ancient title of the Gentlemen Adventurers of England, trading into Hudson Bay. The glory of the old days has departed, but the fort is still a company post. Here is the company store. Here, too, is the small Northwest Mounted Police post, where we find Sergeant Blair. The big stove, piled full of green birch logs, is red hot. Outside, a blizzard rages. Entering the cabin as our story opens is Blair's trusted assistant, Angus Cameron.
Oh, hello, Angus.
Man, Sergeant, yours a hard night. Listen to that wind, will you?
Yes, it's a bad night, all right. Did you phone Marshal at Fort Douglas about that fur case?
Aye, I did that. He'll be out on it in the morning.
Anything else doing?
Marshal said a dog team went by at 4 o'clock.
What? In this weather? Who was it?
It's Belle Latour, heading this way.
Belle Latour? Good Lord, fancy a woman on the trail a night like this.
Aye, but what a woman yon is, Sergeant. Worth a million, they say. And yet she's no satisfied. Just built a dance hall in the new tune at Dawson. Calls it the Circle.
Yes, hope she gets through all right. Yes, she will. She's got the best dogs in the Northwest. And Antoine's the finest driver from here to Hudson Bay. Should be showing up soon.
Listen, will you? There's something new.
No, can't hear a thing for that wind, Angus.
It's a team, Sergeant. Listen.
Oh, yes, I believe you're right. Open that door.
Will!
Hello there, Angus. Hello,
come
Sergeant.
In.
Gee, what a night.
Hello there, Angus. Give a hand to the dog.
Aye, Sergeant.
Sit down, Belle.
Thanks, Sergeant. Gosh, what a trail. Bucking that blizzard clear from Holy Cross Lake.
Where are you heading, Belle?
Oh, just going down to Edmonton. Got a load of fox furs. Got to make the Saturday's train. But this wind's too tough even for me. I'll lay up here till it quits.
I see. Well, I got your wire from Holy Cross. What's on your mind, Belle?
Plenty. You ain't forgotten Finger Smith, have you?
I know. What about him?
He's out of jail.
Yeah, so I heard. Up in Alaska, I believe.
No, he ain't, Sergeant.
What?
No, he was up there on the landing last night and heading this way.
That's interesting.
Too interesting to suit me, Sergeant. Finger's never forgiven you for picking him up at Battlesford that time. He's a-doing a lot of talking and said he was gonna get you.
Oh, see here, Belle.
Yeah, I know. But you better watch out, Sergeant. Finger's is bad medicine. He's got a couple of tough birds with him.
I see. Well, thanks for tipping me off. Coming back this way?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, gotta be getting over to the store.
All right, Belle. Good luck.
Thanks.
Finger Smith again, eh? No rest for the wicked.
And the wind will ring in, all the boys will sing in.
Oh, Angus.
Aye, Sergeant.
You hear about Finger Smith?
Aye, Anton was telling me. What do you think of it, Sergeant?
Well, we'll have to watch he doesn't spoil that good record we have in this district. Oh, sounds as if the wind dropped.
Aye, it has that. And look at the north and left. Yon's a magnificent sex, Sergeant.
Yes. What's out of the fort?
Ah, it's the wee woman is starting out on the trail again. Yon's a long trail she's stacking.
Yes, Belle's trail will never end till that brave little heart of hers stops beating. Well, better bank that fire, Angus. I'll be turning in.
Aye, Sergeant. I'll do that. Good night, dear.
Good night, Angus. Hello. What's that? Hey, wake up, Angus.
Oh, man, I was having a fine sleep.
All right, I'll go. Wait. Good Lord, Belle, are you back again?
Yes, it's me. Sergeant, quick. I've been robbed and all that good fur cleaned out.
What?
Sure, they held me up in Long Coulee.
Held up? Why, look here, they don't hold people up in this country.
Oh, no? I tell you it's the truth, Sergeant. Oh, for heaven's sake.
Steady now, Belle. Take it easy. Sit down. Start the beginning. Come on, Angus. Hurry up.
Aye, I'm coming. Oh, where in the world did I put my socks? Put them on my feet.
All right, Belle, let's have the story.
Well, I was right in the middle of Long Coulee, and I was riding and pretty near asleep, and all of a sudden there was a shot from the bush. Antoine's lean dog went down, and three men jumped us.
Recognize the men?
No, not a chance.
Too bad, Belle.
But I tell you one thing. One of those men was Finger.
Fingersmith, you sure?
Sure, I'm dead certain. I'd know his voice in a million.
What happened to Antoine?
I shot him. And I got the dogs clear. For old Mishka is dead. Best lead dog I ever had. Gee, was I mad.
Is Antoine dead?
Sure, never made a move. Gosh, 30 years in this country, and that's the first time anybody ever stole a nickel's worth from me. And as for losing Antoine, poor old Mishka. Oh, gee, Sergeant.
All right, take it easy, Belle. Got a lift of that fur?
Yeah, sure. It's in my handbag.
Oh, Angus.
Yes, Sergeant.
We leave the Indian trackers. I wonder who's around the fort.
They're all here, I'm thinking.
Well, get Joe the man and Little Bear if you can. Get him out ahead of us. And get Marshall to start for Long Coulee at once. All right, Angus, slip into it. We'll start in half an hour.
Aye, Sergeant.
Gosh, I hope you get them guys. Tain't the money I mind so much. It's the idea of being held up at this cheap, four-flushing gang and losing old Mishka. Ah, gee, he was a grand dog, Sarge. I feel like murdering somebody.
Oh, no use getting sore, Belle. I think we'll pick him up. Well, as for getting along.
Well, so long, Sergeant, and good luck to you.
Thanks. So long, Belle.
Yon's the coolie just ahead, Sergeant.
Yes, there's Joe the man and Marshall. All right, leave the dogs here, Angus.
Oh, policeman chief, you come.
Hello, Joe. Morning, Marshall.
Good morning, Sergeant. It's pretty bad business.
Yes, where's the place?
Just ahead, under the high bank, Sergeant.
Find anything?
Not much, Sergeant. There's a lot of blood on the snow and the place is swarming with tracks.
I see. Well, Joe, what do you say?
Three men here. One man atop in bush here by trail. One man other side trail. Another man on top big bank. Watch for slave.
Yes, I know. I don't want that. What happened after the holdup? Which way they go?
You no find them yet.
Well, you and Little Bear chase up under that bank. Look for sleigh tracks. It's a getaway I'm interested in.
Here you go.
You think they had the sleigh up there?
I'm afraid so.
Well, that might be it. But I couldn't get these Indians away from the main trail.
That's an Indian all over. They have a sense of the dramatic. Always want to sit down and reenact the tragedy.
Yes, that's right. Joe and Little Bear were having quite a powwow down here in the coulee. But what's your theory about this getaway, Sergeant?
Well, they wouldn't keep the main trail. There's settled country north and south and east of us.
Oh, you think they went west?
Afraid so. If they head for the foothills, it's going to be tough.
But they have to cash in on that fur.
Oh, they might figure on laying up in the hills till things quiet down. Then make a break south, see?
Oh, I see. Well, here's Joe again.
Oh, policeman Blair.
Yes, Joe?
Joe, him find them sleigh track up top of bank.
Yes, which way they go, Joe?
I think maybe head for Snake River.
Now, that's nice. 5 hours start, they'll be over Snake River by nightfall. We haven't a chance in the world. They'll be in the hills tomorrow.
No, policeman chief, maybe you go fast, you catch them tonight.
What? Oh, you're crazy, Joe.
No, I say you catch them tonight. Heavy sleigh. Bad trail, you catch them.
Now, hold on, Joe. Either they have to break trail. We never catch him this side Snake River.
Pretty soon, big Chinook, he come.
Chinook? Here, hold on, Joe. You sure?
Joe, him never make mistake, policeman chief.
Well, that's different. Gosh, that's right. If a Chinook comes, we've got him.
See here, Sergeant. This is all Greek to me. What is this Chinook business?
Oh, yes, I forgot. This is your first winter in the West, Marshal, eh? You see, a Chinook is a warm wind that comes suddenly in winter out here.
But what difference does that make?
Well, looks funny, I'll admit, but the Chinook raises the temperature rapidly. Melts snow like magic. If we get a real Chinook, there'll be 10 feet of water over the ice in Snake River by midnight.
Oh, I see. Then they'd be stuck this side of the Snake River.
That's it. That is if Joe's guessed right.
Me say, big Chinook, he come. You catch him.
Yeah, it's a chance, all right. Marshal, shake up your dogs. I'll get Angus and we'll shove on to Snake River. Light sleighs, we ought to gain on those fellows pretty fast.
So that's why it's turned so warm.
Anything doing, Sergeant?
Not yet. It looks all right. Joe and Little Bear have gone to see if they can find the camp.
Well, the river's in flood all right, and it's just as hot as a summer night.
Where's Angus?
Here, Sergeant.
Right. We're about 100 yards from the river. Wonder where those Indians have got to. They've been quite a time. Wonder what's the matter.
Probably having another powwow. Good Lord, what's that?
All right, look out. That's Joe's signal. Stand by.
Look here, Sergeant. Yon's a man coming by the trio.
Hold on. It's all right. It's Joe.
Oh, policeman chief.
Well, Joe, what do you got?
I find them camp. Three men close by river. One, you come. All man, sleep.
Yes, we come. Angus, Marshal.
Yes, Sergeant.
All right, Sergeant, right with you.
This is the plan. Now listen, Joe.
No. Listen.
Now, be careful with this now. You two follow Joe. Get round behind the camp, then work in close enough to jump these fellows. I'll go straight for the camp. When you get set, I'll walk straight in on them and make the arrest. Get the idea?
Yes, all right, Sergeant.
Right, keep your guns handy. Don't shoot unless you have to. Move in quick, and I challenge them. How about those dogs, Joe?
Oh, dog, him plenty tired. Bad trail, heavy load. Him played out. No make noise.
All right, you fellows keep close to Joe. Watch your step. Better shove off now.
Who's that?
Come on, Marshal. Angus, come
on.
Hey,
what is this? Get a hold of it. Hey, wake up, Bill. Hey, Bill, what is this? Look out. Pull. Where? Hey, what's the idea? What do you mean?
All right. Stand him up, Marshal. That's it. James Henry Smith, I arrest you in the King's name for the murder of Antoine Leclerc at Long Coulee.
Huh?
Anything you say will be used against you as evidence.
So it's you, is it? Of course, yeah. I won't have to run into you again.
Too bad, Finger. What about that fur, Angus?
All here, I'm thinking.
Right. We'll bring up the dogs, camp here till daylight. Then we'll head back to the fort. Nice work, Joe.
Ah, policeman chief. So, him, heap, big fella.
Again, Joe the Man, famous Indian tracker, has proved his worth. Tune in for our next episode in Blair of the Mounties entitled The Trap.
All right, I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does it make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we... You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France... Montreal? What the f***?
It's the script.
I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR Production Department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
In the 25th century. And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box. Buck Rogers, the amazing young fellow who was born right here in our own 20th century, but who was held in a state of suspended animation for 500 years. And now he's living in the highly mechanized and super scientific world of the 25th century. In company with Lieutenant Wilma Deering, a girl soldier, and Dr. Huer, the greatest scientist who ever lived, his life is one thrilling adventure after another. Why, just recently they flew their rocket-powered spaceship to the far-off planet Jupiter to run down Killer Kane and Ardela, arch-criminals of interplanetary space. But now they're back on Earth again. And our story opens in the weird and wonderful laboratory of Dr. Huer, at Niagara, the capital of 25th century America. We find the old scientist alone, working feverishly over a mass of strange diagrams and complicated formulas that cover the top of his desk. Let's join him there. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Heat output times the square of the lens radius times pi equals... I've got it.
Hello, Doctor.
Wilma, look. I've worked out the heat radiation formula for the mechanical mole.
Mechanical mole?
Here. Set me at that subcosmic radio unit.
But what under the sun is...
Excuse me, Wilma. Calling Factory B-18. Factory B-18.
Factory B-18. Rankin.
Rankin, this is Dr. Huer.
Oh, yes, Doctor.
Set the radial heat controls exactly as I tell you.
Yes, sir.
Number one at 33 degrees, 4 minutes right. Number two at 7 degrees, 17 minutes right. Number three at 9 degrees, 9 minutes left.
Yes, sir.
Do it immediately. We'll take the mole on a test run just as soon as we can get over there.
Yes, sir.
Signing off.
Well, now, Doctor.
Where's Buck Wilma?
Why, he's out making a trial flight in the new super rocket ship you developed just after we got back from Jupiter.
Oh.
But what is a mechanical mole?
Well, then wait. We'll want him in on the test run of the mechanical mole, too. Central Radio Bureau. Dr. Huer calling Central Radio Bureau.
Mechanical mole, did you say? Mm.
Central Radio Bureau, Stratton speaking.
Oh, Dr. Huer, Stratton. Do you know where I can reach Captain Buck Rogers?
Oh, he's making a test flight, Doctor, in the new interplanetary rocket.
Yes, I know, but where is he?
Well, last reported about 17 points west of the moon, flying a course in the general direction of Saturn.
Well, then use a subcosmic power beam to contact him immediately. Ask him to join us at the spaceport just as soon as he can get back to Earth. Hangar number four.
The experimental hangar.
That's right. And Radio Sergeant Carborg out there that we're coming. Tell him to have everything ready for us.
I'll call them both right away, sir.
Thank you. Signing off.
Signing.
Did you come over here in a rocket-powered air roadster, Wilma?
Well, yes, Doctor, I did.
Fine. We'll use it to fly out to the spaceport. Come along.
But I don't understand. All this talk about a mechanical mole and heat radiation formulae...
Wilma, we're about to embark on the most amazing scientific venture we've ever attempted.
Oh, really?
Come along now. I'll tell you about it on the way over. Oh, good. Your rocket roadster is the enclosed model.
Yeah, it keeps my hair from getting blown all over the place.
But you're wearing a flying helmet.
Well, that's as good an excuse as any.
Here now. Get in.
Want me to take the controls?
If you like. All ready.
Then here we go. These little things certainly make a quick takeoff, don't they?
Well, don't spare the power. The sooner we get over there, the sooner we'll be able to start out in a mechanical mole.
Well, tell me about it. What is it? What's it for? What's it do?
Look, Wilma, for years we've devoted all our time and effort to exploring the vast reaches of outer space. Mars, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, even far off Pluto.
Yes, and we've had some mighty interesting times on those planets.
Yes, but as a result of the fascination of interplanetary exploration, we have utterly neglected the very world we live on, Earth.
Yes, I guess so. But now, what has that got to do with...
A few elementary facts we do know. Seismographs, instruments that measure shocks and vibration in the Earth, have indicated that it has a central core some 4,000 miles in diameter, composed, in all probability, of the heavier elements like iron, nickel, platinum, and radium.
Only, of course, they're liquefied.
What?
Awfully hot in the center of the Earth, isn't it?
The temperature is probably in thousands of degrees.
Well, then, the elements you mentioned must be liquefied.
No. Although that temperature is far higher than that at which any known substances could be ordinarily used and remain solid, the enormous pressure is undoubtedly sufficient to keep it from melting.
Some pressure?
Well, normal atmospheric pressure, that which surrounds us all the time, is a little over 14 pounds to the square inch.
Yes, I know.
But the pressure at the core of the Earth is estimated at about 3 million atmospheres.
Good night. But now, Doctor...
Now, of course, we know that most of the Earth's land surface is covered with a layer of sedimentary rock.
Mm-hmm.
Particles of rock and sand that were spread about by water following the Ice Age. and then settled and stuck together.
Yeah.
Now, geologists agree that a widespread granitic layer extends well under all the continents.
Mm-hmm.
Other common minerals are shales and sandstone and basalt in such forms as dolerite and gabbro and ecrogite and pacolite.
What and what and... Oh, now listen, Doctor, you're just trying to mix me all up and change the subject. I want to know about the mechanical mole.
Well, then watch your navigation and swing us round.
Huh?
Directly below us, there at the spaceport.
Oh. Great day, that thing?
Yes.
Why, it looks like a big, long metal sausage.
It's made of flexo-impervium, the toughest and most flexible metal known to us.
That huge lens at the end of it, and those little fins sticking out all over the side.
A thermic radiation projector, a heat ray.
Oh.
And the fins shield a system of non-recoil energy projectors.
But what is it for? What does it do?
Well, watch the controls. We're heading straight down at it.
I'm sorry. It's such a strange-looking thing. And look at all the people gaping at it from that barrier that's strung around.
Well, land us there in the open space between it and the hangar.
Okay.
You see? There's Sergeant Carlborg waiting for us.
Yes, sir. I'm cutting the power. Now we'll coast down.
We're dropping pretty fast, Wilma.
Then I'll use some reverse power to land us without a bump. Now, let's get out so I can find out what this mechanical mole is all about.
Out for you, sir.
Hello, Carlborg.
Hello there.
And Lieutenant Wilma. Well, I might have known you'd be coming along on this experimental trip, miss.
Well, now I know that the mechanical mole is capable of making some kind of a trip anyway.
Been having quite a time keeping the crowds back of the fence, Doctor. They all want to have a look at her.
I thought you were going to keep it in the hangar, Carlborg. Not the sort of machine that should be around where people can get at it or into it.
All my men are keeping them all at a safe distance. You see, Mr. Rankin from the factory brought it out here to make some adjustments on it.
Oh, then he's already been here.
Yes, sir. Left just a minute ago.
Fine, fine. That means we can start out in the mechanical mole without delay.
Well, what about Buck, Doctor?
Oh, of course. It's funny that he isn't here. I told him to come out and make himself at home in the mole whenever he... Carlborg.
Yes, sir?
We were expecting Captain Rogers to meet us here.
I haven't so hide or hair, Captain Rogers, Doctor, since the day you three took off for Jupiter, when you went after Killer King.
Well, I expect there's nothing we can do but wait for him. And while we're waiting, Wilma, I'll take you into the control room of this machine and explain to you how it works.
At last, I'm going to find out what it's all about.
And Carlborg.
Yes, sir?
You better have your men clear a long path for us in the general direction of the city. We don't want the withering heat from the thermic radiation projector to hurt anyone when we start up.
Yes, sir. Do it right away, sir.
The rocket rest to be all right here next to the hangar?
Yes.
And come on, let's get into this big machine.
Oh, wait a minute. There's the radio call signal inside the hangar office.
Oh, let Carlborg take it.
Now, he's moving the crowd back. Only take a second to answer it, and maybe Buck. Here now.
Buck Rogers. Center Radio Bureau calling Captain Buck Rogers. Calling Captain Buck Rogers.
Hello? Hello?
Urgent message for Captain Rogers from the office of the President of America.
Oh, well, Captain Rogers isn't here, but I am expecting him anyway.
Oh, Dr. Huer?
Yes?
This is Stratton speaking.
Oh, Stratton.
I'm sure it'll be all right for you to relay this message to the Captain, sir. Besides, you ought to know about it.
What is it?
Well, it reads as follows. Killer Kane and Ardala have escaped.
What?
Yes, sir.
Good night.
Then tell the President we'll drop everything to get on their trail immediately.
No, wait, sir. You'd better hear the rest of this.
Well, all right, go ahead.
Killer Kane and Ardala have escaped from the emergency prison where they were placed to await transfer to the city prison.
Yes, yes.
A clever trick made it possible for them to get a 24-hour start in the rocket plane you used for the Jupiter expedition.
The fastest ship in the universe.
Entire space patrol fleet has been unable to pick up that ship's rocket trail. Apparently, there's nothing we can do but wait until the two criminals show up again. Urge, however, that you keep constantly on guard against Kane and Ardala's reappearance. End of message.
All right, Stratton. Thank you.
Doctor, what can we do?
Nothing, Wilma, except what the President suggests. Wait for them to show up again.
I know, Doctor, but do you suppose they really did leave Earth in that ship of ours?
Why, what do you mean?
They might have just sent it flying alone by the automatic controls as a trick.
Possibly. To throw us off that trail.
Barrels all moved back, Doctor, and you can... Say, what's the matter?
Nothing. Come along, Wilma. We've bought the mechanical mole.
Yes, sir.
Right this way. Crowd's mighty anxious to see that big machine get started, Doctor.
Are they?
Yes, sir. Go catch it. Hey, look. Look, it's moving.
You're right. And the heat ray of the nose of it, it's starting to glow.
Doctor, Killer Kane and Ardala.
You're right. And with that heat ray, the lives of all these people out here are in danger.
And Kane and Ardala won't hesitate to use it.
It's moving over toward the crowd of people right now. Come on, we've got to stop it.
Stop it how?
Then what can we do?
Get those people away from here. Come on.
day. The terrible destruction that could be done with a gigantic heat ray in the nose of that mechanical mole is too appalling to even think about.
Now let's get back to the world of the future. Back to the municipal spaceport at Niagara, capital of 25th century America, where a terror-stricken crowd is watching a gigantic machine called the Mechanical Mole move sluggishly across the landing field. In the front of it, a thermic radiation projector, a gigantic heat ray, begins to glow ominously. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Mole is moving over toward the edge of the crowd.
We've got to stop it, Doctor, before it runs over those people.
Stop that? Impossible.
The heat ray is beginning to glow. It's Ken and Ardella, all right.
They won't stop at nothing, Doctor. Look!
Oh, that's slippery. You'll burn those people in that track.
Somehow, we've got to keep it from reaching them.
Now, look. The heat ray is off now.
And the mole has started back towards the middle of the field.
But until Ken and Ardella at the controls, it won't stay away from that crowd for long. If only Buck were here.
Yes, sir. Captain Rogers would find a way to stop that thing.
Wait. Tarbog.
Yes, sir?
Come with me quick. Back to the main rocket ship hangar.
What for, Doctor?
Oh, don't waste time talking. Come along.
Yes, sir.
Wilma.
Yes?
Get to the radio unit in this hangar. Call for the rocket control fleet.
Uh-huh.
Have them assemble at 1,000 feet directly above this field.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Look. The mole is just going around in a circle out there.
Yes, but it may not do it for long. You've got a Y-12 space fighter in this main hangar, haven't you?
Three or four of them. But the RF-13s carry bigger disintegrators.
No, I want the Y-12 for its black ray.
Black ray?
Yes. We'll climb up above it and cover that mechanical mole with utter darkness.
Yes.
Then the men in the space fleet can hold it in position with non-recoil energy projectors.
Then what?
Here. Now, here's the hangar. Pull the switch to open the big sliding doors so we can get the ship out.
It's right over here, Doctor.
That's it. And here's a Y-12 just waiting for us.
Here, Doctor. I'll open that metal door for you.
I've got it. Get in, quick.
Yes, sir. Only I wonder if Kane and Ardella have started a mechanical mole charging at the people again.
Tarbog, get in here.
Yes, sir.
Now, here we go. And I hope some of the space fleet is on its way over.
Wow! We've smashed into the top of the hangar door. Hey, but look!
Yes, I see. The mole is standing still down there.
Yes, sir. The people are starting to move closer to it again.
Oh, we've got to stop that. I'll call Wilma down there at the other hangar.
It's no use, Doctor. She's down there on the field again. Too far away to hear the call.
Well, then perhaps she'll tell your men to keep that crowd back.
Oh, wait. Here they come, sir.
What?
The rocket fleet.
Oh, good. Rocket fleet, attention. Rocket fleet, attention.
Captain Wilson speaking, Dr. Ure. Rocket fleet standing by.
Yes, sir. They're in a big circle right above us. Must be 8 or 10 of them ships.
Good. Wilson, I want you to keep the circle you formed directly above the big machine you see down there on the flying field.
Aye, sir.
I'm going to shoot down a black ray to envelop that machine in darkness. And I want your ships to send down paralysis rays on with full power behind them. I'll give you the order.
Must be Kane and Ardella in the mechanical mole.
Oh, then you know about their escape?
Yes, sir. The rest of the rocket fleet is out in space trying to pick up their trail.
The reason your ships will have to use all available power behind the paralysis rays is because the mole has an elasto-impervium hull.
Will the rays penetrate that at all?
Only a tremendous concentration of them. Even then, they may take some time to penetrate. That's why I'll cover the mole with a black ray to discourage its moving around.
We're all ready, Dr. Ure. My pilot's been in contact with the other ships on a separate wavelength.
Good. Here goes the black ray. Turn it on, Tarbog.
Right, sir.
Careful.
Huh?
Careful. There's Wilma down there. It might blind her and stumble into the path of the mechanical mole.
No. Look. Now she's running over towards the hangar.
Perhaps away from the mole.
It's not moving out of the black ray. But she's certainly in a hurry.
Never mind that now. Wilson. Hello, Wilson.
Standing by for orders, Doctor.
Have you got full power behind the paralysis rays?
Yes, sir.
Then have the men in your ship turn them on.
Right, sir. Order for all ships.
It may take a few minutes, Tarbog, but the high concentration of those rays is bound to get through that hull down there enough to be effective.
I should think so. Coming from the wall and control ships.
Now, cut off the black ray a moment so we can see them all again. And let the fleet men check on their aim with the paralysis rays.
Now?
Now.
Hey, look.
Yes, I see. Dana Adela found out how to make the mechanical mold drill its way down into the earth.
By using the heat ray on the front of it.
Yes. They'll get out of range of the fleet's paralysis rays.
Underground.
Exactly. There's only one thing to do. Captain Wilson. Calling Captain Wilson.
I see, Doctor. It's going into the ground. Our paralysis rays won't be able
Wilson,
to affect...
have your ship drop down to 100 feet in their present circle formation.
Yes?
Instead of paralysis rays, better use force rays. Non-recoil energy projectors. That will keep the mold from moving any further.
Even down there under the ground?
Even under the ground. Do it now.
Right, sir.
And what about us, Doctor?
We've smothered with our heat ray.
It'll break them in there.
No, the hull of the mold is too well insulated against heat. But it'll melt the ground around it.
I see. Then you let the ground re-harden around it.
Exactly, that's right. They'll be locked tightly in a huge area of solidified rock. Here goes the heat ray. In a minute or two, it'll harden. We trapped them, Carlborg.
The control fleet is holding them right there to the force ray.
And they won't need to for long. See all that steam?
Yes.
An underground stream that'll cool the ground and harden it quickly.
Then they're trapped, all right. But how are we ever going to get Kane or Dela out of there?
We'll think of that later. The main thing now is that we have them.
Dr. Hewer, calling Dr. Hewer.
Oh, that's why she was running to the hangar to call you.
Calling Dr. Hewer.
Yes, Wilma.
The mold, the mechanical mold.
Completely trapped, Wilma, in solid rock.
But Buck is in it, Dr. Helpless. He'll suffocate.
Buck, even the mechanical mold.
Yes, sir, he got there before we did. Climbed into the mold with Captain Rankin. While Carlborg was taking a radio call in the hangar.
No wonder I didn't see him.
Then we thought it was Kane and our Dela.
He's trying desperately to contact you by radio because he heard your orders to the space fleet.
Well, then why didn't I hear him?
The receiver on this ship is tuned to the general utility tower.
Oh, and the mole's on ultra short wave.
You've got to help him now. Quick, he's suffocating.
Suffocating?
Talk to him, Doctor. And do something to get him out of there.
All right.
Now, here. I'll adjust his receiver and pick up the mole now.
Thank you. Buck. Hello, Buck.
Hi, Doctor. Get me out of here, will you?
Yes.
When that black ray hit down this way, I banged into the control board. Wrecked the air conditioning controls and all the light controls, too. Now, there's not much air left in this small control cabin, so if you can...
Buck, turn on the thermic radiation projector in the nose of the mole. That'll let you melt your way back to the surface.
I don't dare try it.
Why?
I can't see a thing in this darkness, and I might wreck the whole works and me with it.
Well, then listen, Buck. Buck!
Yes, sir?
The inertron control. The inertron lifting unit.
I don't know where it is.
The lever is under the left side of your control seat. Lift it upward.
It's right.
Yeah. Doctor, what good will that do? Can't you hear him? He can't last much longer.
Now, Buck.
Doctor?
Buck Rogers.
No air, Doctor. It's got him.
Doctor, sure he'll die down
there.
Oh,
wait, Wilma, wait.
What are you going to do?
I don't know
You've
yet.
You've got to get him out of there.
Wait. Wilson. Captain Wilson.
Yes, sir. I've heard it all.
We've got to melt that ground again.
Right. Full heat.
When we melt that ground, you push the mole out with our force ray. Carlborg, take the ship control.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, you can't you do
that? Right away, Wilma.
But you may be too late. Don't you understand? Buck is suffocating down there.
Full power, Carlborg. Break down there. I'll work the force ray.
Right, sir. Full power.
Now the force ray. Ground coming, again. We're pushing them all back up to the surface.
I'll bring us right down to China.
Yes, the plan is now.
Now. Here we go. Where to land it, sir?
Now, quick. That crowbar there on the wall.
Crowbar?
Oh, all right. I have it. Now, here. This metal door.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We pushed them all right back on top of solid ground again. Put it hot around here, too.
Oh, never mind that. Help me pry open the door of the mechanical mold.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, the officer's way outside. Can you save him?
Help us. Quick.
But I will.
Now, pull.
He's open.
Buck! Are you all right?
Hey, keep that
Buck!
Hi. Hi, folks.
Get some water. Get a healing ray.
Carlborg, there's a healing ray in the hangar number 3.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir.
Oh, Buck. I never thought we'd get you out of there alive.
I'm all right.
Oh, thank you.
Just needed some air. A little fresh air.
Oh, Buck, I was afraid that...
Well, Doctor?
Yes, Buck.
He works. When do we start for the center of the Earth?
Say, a trip to the center of the Earth in that mechanical mole ought to provide thrills galore.
Be sure to listen to the next episode.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century. And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box. Buck Rogers, who was held in suspended animation for 500 years and is now adventuring in the amazing world of the 25th century. By turning a little dial to project us ahead in time, we're able to be right with Buck and his friends in the wonderful world of the future. A world that sees a lot of our scientific and mechanical dreams come true. You know, there's nothing supernatural or mystic about Buck. He's just an ordinary, normal human being who keeps his wits about him. But he certainly manages to get into one thrilling adventure after another. Right now, he and Wilma and Dr. Hewer are getting ready to start on an expedition toward the center of the Earth in a huge machine called the Mechanical Mole. They're standing beside it on the landing field of the great municipal spaceport in Niagara, capital of 25th century America. Well, let's join them. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Oh, what's holding us up, Dr. Hewer? I thought we were going to get started on our trip underground just as soon as we got out here.
Sergeant Carlborg is bringing some weapons and scientific equipment over from the main rocket ship hangar.
Weapons?
Yes, Doctor. What possible use for weapons can we have deep under the Earth?
Well, you never can tell. We've got to be prepared for everything. Carlborg is also bringing instruments that will enable us to analyze whatever sort of ground we run into down there. Also a gas analyzer.
What's that for?
I shouldn't be at all surprised if we'd run into some great open spaces miles below. Gas or air pockets?
Gas pockets, anyway. Sources for the natural gas we use here on the surface.
Exactly.
I see. But now explain this machine to me, will you? All I can tell from seeing it here is that it looks like a huge metal sausage.
Well, it's made of flexo-impervium, Wilma. The toughest flexible metal known.
But how does it work? How does it dig its way into the ground?
It melts its way down, Wilma, with the help of a thermic radiation projector. The heat from it will liquefy anything in its power. Rocks, stones, gravel, almost instantaneously.
Some heat.
Yes. The banks of non-recoil energy projectors that are spaced all around the outside of the hull will push the mold forward through the melted ground.
Will we be able to see anything through the big metalloglass windows there in front?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And are they really thick enough?
Well, there won't be much strain on them, Wilma, because the force rays will keep pushing the melted dirt away from them all the time.
Oh. Well, now how about getting into the control cabin so I can see how to operate it?
All right. Notice that this metal door arrangement is rather complicated in order to permit entrance through three separate hulls. Here now. There.
Why three hulls, Doctor?
For protection against the extreme temperatures we may encounter.
Right. Doctor, didn't you say that the temperature will increase about 1 degree for every 53 feet we go down?
Yes, that's the generally accepted figure.
Uh-huh.
One of the many things we'll be able to check on.
There isn't much room in this control cabin. Seems to me that in a machine 50 or 60 feet long...
Power units for the non-recoil energy projectors and thermic radiation projector.
Huh?
Complete air conditioning and pressure equalizing system. Storage cabinets for all the scientific equipment. They all take a lot of room, Wilma.
Oh, sure. But now, why these straps on the control seat?
To enable us to stay in them regardless of the angle at which we're ascending or descending.
And pressure suits. What do we ever use these for?
Exploring any open spaces there may be down below.
Note the instrument panel here, Wilma.
Uh-huh.
Pressure gauge, depth gauge, temperature,
Dr. type. Hewer, Captain Rogers.
Yes.
Got the other equipment, Carlborg?
Yes, sir. Right here, sir.
Good.
Listen.
What's the matter?
A spy. My men just caught a spy over there by the main hangar.
Hmm? What's this?
He has a telemagnetic recorder.
You mean one of those cameras for recording pictures on a sensitized wire?
Yes, sir.
Well, who is he? What's he look like?
Well, he looks just like a perfectly respectable Martian tourist, Captain.
A Martian?
But he wouldn't say why he was so anxious to take pictures, so I had the boys hold on to him.
Why, that old rascal Black Barney.
Barney? What's he got to do with it?
Did you tell her about that, Bud?
No, I guess it slipped my mind.
Well, then tell me now.
Well, Dr. Hewer first got to thinking about this mechanical mole up on Jupiter, where Barney helped us capture Kane and Ardela.
Yeah?
And he told Barney about his plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know Black Barney.
Sure. He decided he'd have to build one, too.
Right. Told Dr. Hewer that the minute he got back to Mars, he'd begin construction of it. Provided Dr. Hewer would tell him how to get started with it.
Oh, I just joshed him a little, Wilma. And told him that if he wanted to know how I was going to build the mole, He'd have to find out for himself. And I'd do everything possible to keep him from finding out.
Well, then he sent the man with the camera.
Sure, and he isn't the first spy who's been around.
Well, I wonder if Barney's making any progress with his mechanical mole.
Oh, apparently, yes. Our president attended a meeting of the Council on Interplanetary Affairs there on Mars not long ago, and Barney said he was not only building the biggest and most powerful mole in the universe, but that he'd have it in operation before we'd finish with this.
Good old Barney. Leave it to him.
Yes. Well, then, I guess this spy ain't as serious as I thought.
Look, I'll tell you what you do, Cobble.
Yes, Captain?
Do you still have that little dog of yours, the one you call Tagalong?
I sure do, Captain. Why, he's the finest mixed-breed thoroughbred.
Well, where is this Martian's camera?
Why, right in my office at the main rocket ship hangar.
Well, then, you get hold of your dog and expose the whole reel of sensitized wire in the camera on Tagalong digging holes in the ground.
You mean it, sir?
Yeah. Then send the man and his camera back to Mars.
Okay, Captain, whatever you say.
If Barney wants pictures of a mechanical mole, we'll see that he gets them.
That's terrific.
Well, now, let's close this metal door. These metal doors, and get underway.
All right. Sergeant, we'll be in touch with you by radio from time to time. And please radio the president's office that we've started.
Yes, sir, Doctor. And be careful way down there, will you, please?
Careful?
Yes, sir. You folks are starting out on this contraption just as calm as if you were flying a rocket ship out into space.
Well,
but I'd be sort of scared.
Oh, what's there to be scared about, Carlborg?
I don't know, but be careful anyways, will you, please?
Yes, we will. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Carlborg.
Bye, Carlborg. Now, travel on the surface, of course, we just use the power of the non-recoil energy projectors, like this.
Say, we're moving right along.
Yes, sir, there's plenty of power in this thing.
Well, we'll need it when we start going down into the ground. Suppose I turn on the thermic radiation projector and head us down at about a 20-degree angle.
Okay, by me.
Me too.
Well, then here we go.
That heat ray really does a job.
I should say so.
Turns the ground into a boiling liquid.
I'll bet the heat from it can be felt for hundreds of feet around.
What?
I bet the heat from it can be felt for hundreds of feet around.
What did you say?
I said it's hot out there.
Oh. Lady, you certainly have a powerful pair. Hey. Wait, Doctor.
I just cut off the power box. And you see this gauge? We're down over 100 feet.
What's that noise?
Sounds like steam blowing off. Something wrong in the power compartment?
No, Wilma. We've run into a stratum of water sand, that's all.
Oh.
The heat rays turn the water into steam.
Hmm. No telling what we may run into down here, is there?
No.
Really kind of risky, isn't it?
Rather go back and let Dr. Hewer and me finish the trip?
Not on your life.
Well, here we go again. Now, somewhere down here, according to soundings taken on the surface...
Yeah?
There's a deep... Look through the metalloglass window.
Yes, Doctor?
The color of the melted stuff out there indicates we're right in the middle of it now.
In the middle of what, sir?
A deep layer of solid granite.
We're going through solid granite?
That's right, Wilma. And with no effort at all.
No, sir, Doctor.
What?
According to this gauge here, we're stopped.
Stop?
Yes, sir. We haven't moved for the last 10 or 15 seconds.
Now, wait a minute.
Don't you see, Doctor?
Oh, you're right, Buck. We didn't move an inch.
Then back us out, Doctor. Back us up to the surface again.
I can't, Wilma. This machine can't move backwards.
What?
But I don't understand why a little granite should hold us this way.
When we turned off the heat ray, Doctor, it solidified around our hull.
Yes, you're right.
Well, can we get free again?
Give that heat ray all she'll take, Doctor.
Yes.
More heat. We haven't begun to move yet. Direct the heat back alongside our hull.
Yes, Buck. There now.
We're still not moving.
There we are. Now we're moving again.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
You see, it was necessary to melt down all the granite that had solidified around our hull.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen again. I don't mind telling you I was worried for a minute then.
Well, we're moving along now, all right. Really making time.
Yes. I doubt, Wilma, if we'll run into any strata as hard as that again.
Well, I hope not. How far down are we now?
Must be several hundred feet, Wilma.
Yes, sir, because we're certainly traveling. Ground down here must be sort of loosely put together.
Perhaps we're in an air pocket of some sort. The depth gauge...
Say, look.
Yes?
The heat ray usually shows red out there. Now there are a lot of little bluish puffs of flame.
The Buck's right. They shoot out like long blue ribbons. Air pocket, did you say?
Oh, sir, we're running into a gas pocket.
Gas?
Why, yes.
But what if it all catches fire?
Yes, sir, if there's oxygen present down here...
The heat ray will be like a match inside a big gas tank.
You're right.
Look, blue flames all around us.
Gas pocket's going to explode.
Good heavens.
Look!
Here it comes.
Say, that sounds pretty bad. The heat from the thermic radiation projectors made that gas pocket they ran into explode. They're deep, deep underground, beyond the reach of help.
Buck Rogers in the 25th century!
And the shower of silver dollars from Popsicle Pete's money box. Now let's get back to the world of the future. When Buck, Wilma, and Dr. Huer started on their expedition underground in the mechanical mole, Sergeant Carlborg, following orders and having no idea what might happen down there, went back to the main rocket ship hangar to contact the president's office by radio. It's there that we find him now as we turn the dial that'll project us ahead in time. Here we go, 500 years into the future.
Central Radio Bureau. Sergeant Carlberg calling Central Radio Bureau.
Central Radio Bureau, Stratton speaking.
Now listen, Stratton, I've got to get an important message through to the office of the president.
Yes?
Captain Rogers and Lieutenant Wilma and Dr. Huer have just took off on their expedition under the ground in the mechanical mole. Ain't that something?
Yes, it certainly is. Did it sort of sudden, didn't they?
Well, they didn't want a lot of people around who might have gotten burned by the big heat ray in the nose of that machine.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll get that message.
And you know, they took off in that big machine just as calm and collected as if it was nothing at all.
Well, that's the way those folks are. I better get that message.
Oh!
Hey, what was that?
I don't know. It knocked me right off my chair under the floor. Some incoming rocket ship must have banged into the side of this hangar.
What? Oh, there it goes again.
I'll go out and see what it is. I'll call you back and tell you...
No, wait a minute.
But maybe a ship was cracked up out there.
But if that's all it was, why should I feel it over here? I'm miles away from that spaceport of yours.
You mean you felt it too?
Well, like an earthquake. This whole building shook.
No. Listen. Stratton. Stratton.
Yeah? Now, what's the matter? Municipal spaceport calling municipal spaceport. Carlborg!
Municipal spaceport. Yeah, Carlborg.
Central Scientific Bureau speaking. Our seismographs have just registered a tremendous subterranean explosion.
I knew it.
Approximately 2 miles under the surface of your main landing field. Hello?
Captain Rogers.
Hello?
Calling Captain Rogers in Mechanical Mole.
Hello, Carlborg.
Captain Rogers.
Carlborg.
Dr. Huer.
Hello, Scientific Bureau. Hello?
Rogers.
This is Stratton, the Central Radio Bureau.
Answer me,
yes? Dr. Huer's mechanical mole is down there. What? The mechanical mole? Something must have happened to it. Good heavens. Is there any way of contacting it down there? Is it radio equipped? Well, Carlborg's trying to get them now. Can you hear him? Carlborg. Sergeant Carlborg.
Talk to me so I can see what's happened. And down there under the ground, and the mechanical mole is blown up with them inside of it.
Carlborg. Did they take a straight course down into the ground?
I don't know what they did. It's too late to save them now. They're killed. This is horrible. This is horrible. I shouldn't have ever let them go down there. That awful machine. It's a death machine. That's what it is.
Yes, sir. There's only one way to reach that mechanical mole or what's left of it. With a long-range disintegrator. Disintegrator? Yes, by blasting away a long shaft straight into the ground. But the sides of a shaft that deep will cave in. Call out the Rocket Fleet Emergency Squad. Have them circle the area we're going to disintegrate in order to hold back the sides of it with long-range non-recoil energy projectors.
Okay.
I'll take care of notifying the president's office of what's happened from here.
Yes, sir.
Now go to it. No. Wait.
Yes?
Order an interplanetary transport ship made ready and equipped with the most powerful degravity ray available.
To pull them all up to the surface when you got a shaft down to it, eh?
That's right. Now, get going.
All right, sir.
Carlborg.
Yeah, yeah.
Sergeant
Carlborg.
Have your ground crew erect standard framework number 3X5 directly above the spot where the mechanical mole descended immediately.
Oh, what's the use of that? That's a disintegrator framework.
The only possible chance we have of reaching the people trapped in that machine down there is by disintegrating our way down to them.
It's too late.
What?
It exploded within minutes. It's too late.
Do as I tell you.
The sooner we can get that giant disintegrator going, the better our chance of saving them.
Saving them? It's too late, I tell you. They're lost. They're lost down there. It's too late. As you disintegrate out that hole, it fills in from the sides.
Carlberg is right, Major. We've got less than half a mile down, and yet the force raised from the rocket fleet up above failed to keep the sides of that hole from falling in.
And that mechanical mole is 2 miles down. The Science Bureau said so.
But we've got to get down to that mole somehow. They may still be alive in it.
We can only wall up the sides of that hole as it goes down.
Take too long. Now listen.
Yes, sir?
A corpuscular repeller ray. It exerts a constant repelling force in all directions. By aiming it into the hole as we disintegrate our way down.
Yes. Dr. Ewer has one of them things in his private laboratory.
Good. Maybe the very thing that'll save his life.
Well, I'll order it brought over here to the field right away.
Must save his life.
What's that?
Oh, it's too late. It's too late to save him.
Have you tried to contact them again by radio, Carlberg?
Sure, I keep trying all the time, but what good is it? They're goners down there.
Stop blabbering about it being too late and stand by that radio unit.
The popular repeller ray is on the way over here, Major.
Good. And order the disintegrator to blast away again. Our only chance to reach that mechanical mole lies in the disintegrator.
Disintegrator, full blast!
Disintegrator, full blast! Our only chance to reach that mechanical mole lies in the disintegrator.
Disintegrator, full blast!
Disintegrator, full blast!
Disintegrator.
What did you say, Buck?
Full blast.
And keep it going, full blast.
Where are we? Where are we?
Buck, what's happened? I hear strange noises.
Huh?
The repeller ray in action. Listen to me, Buck. Call back
to time. Dr. Hewer.
Good, Buck. Explosion.
But... we're still in the mechanical mold.
Now, wait a minute.
Wait. We can't save.
What's wrong here?
Thank goodness you've come too.
Come too.
Look.
Now get that ray into position.
They're all piled up on the control board. They're upside down.
Dr. Hewer, are you all right?
Sure. Sure, I'm all.
We're still traveling.
We're traveling straight downward.
Cut off the power, Buck. If you can.
Right. Right, sir. Great day. Explosion in that gas, Parker, must have knocked us all out.
But the power stayed on and the mole has kept digging its way down.
Right over the spot we blasted away.
All right, then.
That's it.
The explosion didn't
now
wreck
turn
his
on the
machine.
Right, sir.
Thank goodness for that. Listen. What's that sound?
It's coming through the radio unit.
Sounds like a disintegrator.
Seems to me I heard voices, too. A lot of funny voices buzzing around in my head.
Me, too. No wonder after the shock of that explosion.
Well, thank heaven, we're all in one piece again.
Cut disintegrator.
Listen.
Cut disintegrator.
Those are real voices. They're what we've been hearing. And they've been coming through the radio unit, too.
It's no use.
Listen.
There's nothing we can do to keep the sides of this shaft we're blasting away from caving in.
Shaft they're blasting away?
What measure? They're still down there, trapped in that mechanical mold of the explosion. And heaven only knows how we'll be able to reach...
Wait a minute. Don't you see? Doctor, the explosion was felt up on the surface. They probably tried to contact us. That's why their radio transmitters aren't up there. So, of course, we hear them.
Oh, of course.
Being out cold, we couldn't answer. So now, in order to rescue us, they're trying to disintegrate a shaft down here.
Oh, sure.
That voice is Major Stanton. We'd better contact him.
By all means, right away.
Yes, sir. Calling Major Stanton. Calling Major Stanton.
Listen, the radio.
That's on the mechanical mole wavelength.
Hey, Major Stanton.
Impossible. Hello?
Hello, Major. This is Buck Rogers.
What?
Hey, hello up there.
Captain Rogers.
I told you they were all right down there.
Captain Rogers, where are you? What happened?
Well, we ran into a gas pocket, Major, and the lame thing sort of blew up on us.
Oh, thank heaven you're all right again. Or are you?
Well, a little shook up, that's all.
It doesn't seem possible, Captain. That explosion fairly rocked the whole city.
Yeah, it kind of banged things around down here, too. You see, when we came to a minute ago, we found the mechanical mole was still plowing its way downward. but we've cut off the power now.
Oh, then it's still in working order.
Yeah?
Word that you're all right has got to all the people up here, Captain. They're cheering and yelling all over the landing field, and many are on their knees offering thanks.
Well, tell them we're all okay and that everything's all right.
I will. But now, is there anything we can do to help you return safely to the surface? How far down are you?
Well, I don't know. You see, most of the instruments here on the control board are smashed. And at the rate we were going, there's no telling how far downward we've traveled since that explosion.
I see. But of course, you're returning to the surface now, so
returning to the surface?
Yes, of course.
Well, not a bit of it. We're just getting started on this underground exploring expedition.
But good heavens, Captain Rogers.
Isn't that right, Wilma?
Sure.
Dr. Huer?
Absolutely.
Sure, Major. But don't worry. We'll keep in touch with you by radio. And if anything exciting happens, we'll let you know.
Amazing.
If anything exciting happens... Well, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't miss the next episode for anything.
You've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad. No, that's all that is.
And you are tuned in to CITR 101.9 FM, and it is now Canada Day in two time zones of Canada, although not this one here in Vancouver yet. All that being said, we will be back again next week, hopefully to continue on with the next part of the Buck Rogers serial. There's not very many episodes of that, actually, interestingly enough. You would think that Buck Rogers, ubiquitous of early 20th century fiction, would have a massive radio serial series that went with it, but it really didn't, actually. It had bits and pieces here and there, like a couple of books, a couple of film serials, 14 episodes of 10-minute episodes of Buck Rogers for the 30s radio show, and that's about all I could find, interestingly enough. Although there's the 70s show with the guy with the Elf King's name. That's really funny. I thought that was hilarious. Coming up in a moment, we'll have Canada Post Rock with John. So from all of us here, please have a safe and happy weekend.